Man, wasn't that good? Amen. That's our goal. Each and every time we come to church, we are supposed to lift Jesus up. Amen. And behold the blood. Amen. How many of y'all like to preach in a dead church? Anybody? How about in a dead meeting? All right, so I want y'all to help me out and be excited. Amen. While we listen to the Word of God this afternoon, I'll amen you on, you amen me on. Amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we have something to shout about today. We have something to be excited for, as they just sung, as we behold the blood that was applied to our lives, and we are so thankful for all that God has done for us. We take for granted so many different things. Just being here safely today is such a blessing from God. Aren't you glad God's not fair? If He was fair, I'd be in hell. You'd be in hell if He was fair. But because He was just, He took the wrath of God for me. Amen? Psalm chapter number 89, you've been seated for a while there. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 89, verses 15 through 18. The Bible says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor and horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for that night. When I was 11 years old, when You met me in my bed, Lord, when You saved my soul, when the blood was applied to my life. Lord, I thank You for each and every testimony that's here tonight or this afternoon of salvation. Lord, the lives that You've reached out to, the lives that You drew to Yourself, the lives that repented of their sin, turned to You in faith. Lord, I pray that You would help us this afternoon, that we would worship You in spirit and in truth, that all would be done to honor and glorify You as I believe it has so far. Lord, we thank You for the meeting thus far. I pray, Father, that You would be with each and every one, that You'd encourage them where they need encouraging, convict them where they need convicting. And Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, they've just been playing church. Lord, they've just been playing along. Lord, that You would show them their need of salvation. Lord, that they would be saved today before it is eternally too late. Lord, we'll thank You for all that's said and done here in Your house today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to point out that phrase there in the middle of the verses that we read. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You know, in the life of an athlete, it consists of constant training. They watch what they eat. They pay close attention to all the time they spend in their field. And ultimately, it begins to consume their entire life if they want to be a professional athlete. When I was younger, I played baseball, and Brother Schwartz, I pitched as well, not nearly as bad, my first game. I only ever pitched one home run, though. The catcher kept telling me to change the pitch, and I said, no, I'm throwing him a curveball, and it went over the fence. And so, but I used to play baseball, and I pitched, And I wanted to get as good as I could, and so I couldn't just throw that fastball. I had to learn other things, and I would go out in the yard, and I would take that baseball, and I would pitch for hours. We only had, I think, 3 or 4 baseballs. My dad, he took me out to the field one day, and we went around through the woods looking for baseballs, and we got a bunch of them together, and I'd take those home and pitch with them, and I wanted to be as good as I could. Why? Well, because I wanted to win. I wanted my teammates to win. I wanted to enjoy the victory in the challenge. I wanted to reign victorious over every team we played against in that little league. The same could be said of great musicians who join into competitions. Ultimately, they are now spending hours and hours and hours perfecting their instrument. It becomes their normal. It is their new life. And this is the only way that they will conquer and succeed in this instrument, become very good. Miss Nikki Lott did not just learn to play. She wasn't born playing piano that way. Trust me, I play piano nowhere near like that. And I know that that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of time. You wrote that song, didn't you? Behold the blood. Amen. Those things take time, and it becomes a normal thing in your life. I'm sure she plays piano just about every day, and it becomes that way of life. And there are some things as we look at our Christian lives that should be normal. They should be normal. They should just come along with salvation. They should just come along with the ministry. They should just come along with serving God. Brother Vance Havner, he said once, the church is so subnormal, I'm sure you've heard this before, that if it ever got back to the New Testament normal, it would seem to people to be abnormal. The church as people have wandered from the normal Christian life. This, I believe, is a life of victory, the victorious life. Churches today, it says that 35% of churchgoers today declare that the Bible has errors. Go check out our Bible Heritage Museum. You'll see there's no errors. Amen. Amen. In God's Word, in the King James Bible. Amen. 45%, they say, and you look up statistics and you wonder where they come from. I'm just reading what Google said. Amen. And you can go do a Google study yourself. 45% say homosexual behavior is not a sin, or they don't know if it is a sin. They're just not sure. I believe we know what is sin today. 40% believe that gay couples, or I should say sodomite couples, should be allowed to marry and have legal rights. 20% say that there are other books than the Bible that are inspired by God. 65% believe that if you are a good person, you will go to heaven. There are ways that you can get there by being good, but we know our righteousness are as filthy rags. Only 44% of born-again teenagers claim that they are absolutely committed to the Christian faith, that they are 100% in. Born-again Christians spend, and I'm sure many of us are guilty of this, spend 8 times as much time on entertainment as we do on spiritual activities. You know, we'll spend hours and hours and hours watching TV through the week or being on our phones through the week, but we can't give up an hour to go soul winning. We can't give up an hour to go out and reach people with the gospel. Although nearly 50% of people attended church weekly as a child, only 20% attend as adults. These young people, they're leaving the churches. They're not staying in. They're not getting in and getting involved. And some of you may be dealing with this. Churches are still grappling with the long-term effect of COVID. Didn't want to say it. With many still operating at only 85% of their pre-pandemic attendance. You see, Christians, they're losing what should be normal. Church is normal in the life of a Christian. Soul winning is normal in the life of a Christian. It is part of the victorious life that God has saved you to. And so I want us to look at a few things in that phrase, the joyful sound, that they know the joyful sound. There's a joyful sound, if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. You know these verses, I'm sure, as we look at these this afternoon. Living a victorious life is something that has faded from the halls of God's sacred church. Christians just aren't as happy as they used to be. They aren't as willing to serve as they used to be. And they're not living this victorious life. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. There should be a joyful sound to our music. Amen? A joyful sound to our music. Verse number 16, y'all know it. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, when you got saved, God put a new song in your heart. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Psalm 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 89, 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Our life is now different and our music should reflect that. I've seen Christians that have been saved for many years, and they've had a hard time giving up that music. I'm sure it is a struggle. It has to be a difficulty. I praise the Lord for the home that I grew up in. My great-grandfather got saved many, many years ago. He just passed away this past November, and he was saved. I believe he worked at a car wash or something like that, or he was a mechanic somewhere, and somebody left a Bible out in the back seat of their car, on the back of a vehicle there, and he stole it. And he started reading that Bible, and he got saved. And the Lord was going after my grandfather there. But through the years, the generations have been saved, and I thank the Lord for the family that I grew up in and the music that I got to enjoy growing up. I don't have a taste for the junk. I don't have a taste for the world's music, the country music, all the things that go into that. But there's a new song in our hearts when we get saved. It says Psalms, those words of God that are in the Psalms, those scriptures that can be such a help to us. These Psalms, as their scripture, they're to be King James, as we know, but they're to be used in their context as we sing those songs to ourselves. In Psalm 105, it talks about the covenant between God and Abraham. Well, not every little bit of that's going to apply the same exact way to us, but we can take those Psalms and use them in our lives to encourage us. It says spiritual songs. Now, notice it doesn't say sensual songs. It says spiritual songs. Songs that can glorify God through the Spirit. I'm glad this afternoon that this back wall here isn't black. I'm glad that the ceiling's not black. I'm glad that the lights are on. I'm glad, hey, and I got to explain something. When I first came here 2.5 years ago, first thing I did, Pastor, when I walked in the door, I said, "What are those lights?" Now, they're for our Christmas plays. In case anyone wonders, they're for the Christmas place. But I thought, what am I getting myself into here? What are these lights for? And I wondered for a second there. But I'm glad that we have a lit building this afternoon that we can serve the Lord in and praise Him in. These songs that we are to sing, they are songs that have this biblical idea or teaching that lines up with the Bible. Really, I think a victory in Jesus, I know it's in our hymn book, but I think of that as a spiritual song. It's that testimony song, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He is mine." And so that is our personal experience. These spiritual songs are to edify and encourage us. I want to tell you here today that not all young people are going modern. I'm not. Amen. I'm 23 years old. I'm not going modern. I'm not going contemporary. I'm not going with the sensual, charismatic, culturally relevant music of today. Some of us like the old paths, and it's a good thing. Amen. Young people, you should decide in your life today, hey, nobody's going to come get the lentils. Nobody's going to come get these spiritual songs from us, these, as it says, hymns, as Brother Schwartz mentioned. We're the hymn-singing Baptists. I like it that way. Amen. Amen. I like to have a hymnal in my hand. I like to sing those old songs. There are things that the old hymns say that I just can't quite get out. You know, when it says, "And can it be that I should gain?" How can it be that God would love a sinner like me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Those words that are in those hymns are sacred. They are so powerful. It says things that I can't always get out. They're typically these hymns, they're directed toward God. I think too many churches, they think of God as just their buddy, their pal, and they forget that He is the one that is crowned with many crowns. He is the one who is holy, holy, holy. He is the one that we should say, "How great Thou art." The great God that we serve. We should bow in reverence to Him, to glorify Him and to praise Him in a deeper way. These psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, there's a different sound to our music, this joyful sound. But He doesn't just give us songs to sing to Him and to each other. Sometimes there's a song you can remind a brother of that'll be a help to him, or a psalm that you can remind somebody of that'll be a help to them in time of need. But there are also songs, it says in Psalm 77:6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Job 35:10, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" How many of you have been in the valley? You've been in the nighttime. I'll be very transparent. A few weeks ago, I got up. We had just come through a great time here at the church. It was a good week. And, you know, they always tell you that things are going to happen when you're in college, but then they happen and you're like, wow, that's much more difficult than I thought it was going to be. And I got up on a Saturday morning. I got a phone call that somebody's 9-month-old baby had passed away. And then directly after that, I got a text that another baby had passed away. And I'll be honest, and I've talked to Pastor about it, and I told my wife as I was, you know how you get into that that mode where you, well, I've got things I got to get done. I got to get dressed. I got to keep going. I got to keep moving. And I leaned over, or I told my wife, I said, honey, you got to pray for me. I'm not doing very good with this. I'm moving. I'm getting the things done. I'm getting ready, but I'm not doing very good. And I had to take a little while, and I had to ask the Lord, please give me a song. Amen. Give me a song in the night. The difficult times that we go through, He doesn't just give us songs to worship Him and to praise Him, but what a sweet time when the Holy Spirit comes down to you and says, son, hey, come here. I've got something I want to say to you. I want to sing to you. Hey, when God, He comes to you, that El Shaddai, He says, hey, I'm sufficient for this battle. I am sufficient for this problem. When Adonai comes to you, the Master, and says, hey, I can take care of this. Or when the Lord, who can heal us, will say, hey, I know you're broken right now, but the broken and contrite heart, that's something I'm not going to despise. I'm going to help you through this battle. He gives us the song in the night. When He comes to us as Jehovah Shalom, and He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Many of you may have lost a spouse. Isn't God's peace enough? Amen. He gives you that peace to make it through the time. He gives us songs in the night. You know, I used to sing to our son, Caden. He's back there with his Nana and Papa and Mama there, and his little brother. And I used to sing to Caden, I'm sure Patty remembers this, when he wouldn't go to sleep. I'd sit there, I'd rock him, and I'd sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something. I'd sing that song to him, and I'd rock him. He'd fade off to sleep. You know, there are some times where we just need to find a spot in God's arms and let Him sing to us for a little while. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to give you that song in the night and give you some peace. You see, joy doesn't come from this absence of suffering. There's going to be suffering. Man is few days and full of trouble, but we don't have an absence of suffering, but it's the presence of the Holy Spirit through that suffering that can give us joy. So there's a joyful sound to our music now that we are saved. We have something to shout about, something to sing about. But then number two, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we also find that there's not just a joyful sound to our music now. You're saved from all that junk. You're saved from all those problems, all those things that were a difficulty to you before. I'll bring up another example. I went years ago. I played a lot of sports growing up, and we went to a sports banquet, and it was supposed to be at a church. I thought, this is going to be great. It's going to be a sports banquet at a church. And we walk in, and all the walls, the ceilings were black, and in the back, they had graffiti all over garage doors. They had garage doors in the back so that they could have a garage band play for services. I thought, what in the world is this wickedness? This is what we're supposed to be saved from and out of. I thank God for the things that I've missed through this life, the problems and the junk that I didn't have to deal with. But number two, not just the joyful sound of our music, but the joyful sound of our message. In verses 1 through 4, we find, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. And if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Our message is exciting, that this world is not the end. The problems that we go through is not the end. That there's a Savior that loves you, and that He will come to where you are, and He will save your soul. There are those that have been saved that were drunkards. There are those that have been saved who had the needle tracks in their arms. There are those who have been saved even in the preacher's home that are just as much a sinner and lost and on their way to hell as all those. There's an exciting message. The sound of our message should be joyful. There's no greater message in all the earth. But do we really believe that? Do we really act like we believe that? If we did, don't you think we'd share it more? We'd share it a little more. Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, how many of you have seen Flex Seal before? Flex Seal. The tape, the spray, all those different things. And that guy, I don't know what his name was, but I can picture him. I'm sure you can too. And he'd get up there and he would drill holes in a canoe or in a pontoon or in a John boat. He'd start drilling holes and he'd say, "This Flex Seal is so amazing. You got to see what it can do." And then he'd put that over that. And then the next thing you see is he's paddling down the river saying, "If you buy one now, you'll get the second one free." You know, he'll do all those things. And he's selling the product. He's excited. He's saying, "This thing works." You know, you've probably heard that before, but wait, there's more. Wait, there's more. Or as seen on TV, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. All these infomercials. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. It's the solution to all your problems. How about this one? Get the body you've always wanted. Amen? Make your life easier. I mean, you see those infomercials, and they're so sold on that product. I've seen that guy, he'll take one of those nice kitchen knives, and he'll start raking it across a rock. And then he'll go cut a watermelon up like it's, you know, he snapped his fingers, and there it is. He's so sold on the product. And you know what? I kind of believe him. When I see that Flex Seal, and he's in that boat, he wasn't a small guy, and he's in that boat, I think, wow, it does work. That is something that works. He's excited about the product. You see, in order to sell the product, you must believe in its results. And you know, there was a day when you were saved and you were so joyful and you wanted to share the gospel with somebody. You wanted to call your neighbor. You wanted to call your friend. You wanted to see your co-workers come to Christ. And you were so excited and there was something in you that said, "This gets results. There's something different about this. This is not just 1, 2, 3, pray after me. This isn't just religion. This isn't just something. This is a relationship with the Almighty God, the one who created this earth, the one who is the great God and our Savior." And there was something in you that said, "This gets results." And you wanted to share it. You're so joyful. You remember how excited you were just to get the chance to tell somebody. Just to get out the house and say, "Oh, I want to tell somebody about the Lord." There's a joyful sound to our message. Remember that first time you got to share the gospel and someone got saved? You should think about that often. Because there will be times where there's a lull. You haven't led somebody to Christ in a while and you get a little weary. And you could say, "But I remember. I can call to remember that remembrance, that song in the night, that person God sent my way and they were able to get saved and they heard the joyful sound." I forgive me for repeating this Grace of Calvary. Y'all have heard this story before, but there was a man years ago that he got married and he had two children. The lady that he had married, she had one child already, and she was saved, but she wasn't living for the Lord. And this man, he met her, and they got married, and they had another child. And one day, newlyweds there, the wife, she was watching the children play in the living room, and she it was on a Saturday, and she thought, "Man, if I was to die, I may never see them again." Because she knew she was going to heaven. She knew she wasn't living right, but she knew she was going to heaven. And she said, "I may never see them again." And so she went out that day. I believe she said she went to JCPenney, and she went out and got them some church clothes and took them to church the next day. Well, this man, he thought, "What in the world is going on? This is not the woman I married. This is not the person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with." He was not somebody who was a churchgoer. He was not somebody who was saved. But this lady, she continued. She continued to take the children to church, take them to church and be faithful to God. And along the way, the wife, she talked to the pastor. The pastor spoke with her and knew that she was married. And he went out, this man in his 70s, I don't know if anybody would know his name, Ernest Tinetti. Pastor Ernest Tinetti, he passed away a few years ago. And he was in his 70s at this time, and he went out about 50 minutes from his house in a tropical storm to go meet this man, at his house. And he just said, that this pastor, Ernest Tinetti, he knew there was a joyful message. That's what he was going to take. He wasn't going to take him religion. He wasn't going to take him, if you just start coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'll be all right. He wasn't going to take him those things. He was going to take him Jesus. And he went out there to that house, and this man, he met him and he talked with him, and he said, there's something real about this, that he would come all the way out here, that he would show care for me in that way. And a few weeks later, he would end up going to church, and he would get saved in the ladies' Sunday school classroom. Not during ladies' Sunday school class, but after church, a man went in there with him. And I thank the Lord for that story, and I know I don't do it justice, because that man was my father. My older siblings, they had gotten... They were in the family there. My mom and him, my father had gotten married, and my dad, he didn't have anything to do with church, but somebody cared enough to share the joyful message and to show that somebody cared, and then my father could be saved. If that did not happen, if that account did not take place in the history of my family, I wouldn't be here today. I have no doubt in my mind that this would have been a difficulty for my parents' marriage for the rest of their lives. But he gave his life to Christ because somebody shared the joyful message. But then number three, we have a joyful sound to our music, a joyful sound to our message. But then number three, there should be a joyful sound in our method. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Proverbs 17:22. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know, we should be happy people in our day-to-day lives. Yes, there are ups in the ministry. Yes, there are downs in the ministry. But we should be joyful in our daily lives. Why? Well, as we read in Psalm 89, it talks about for His name. I'll turn back there just so I'm not messing this up here. Psalm 89, it says, "For in Thy name shall they rejoice all the day long." We rejoice for the name of Jesus that is powerful enough to save. The name that the old devil's going to have to bow to one day. The name that the demons are going to have to bow the knee to one day. The name that the ones that have defied Christ will have to bow. And the name that I get to bow to. Amen. One day on that glorious day. Amen. The name that at every knee shall bow. We rejoice and we are joyful because of the righteousness of Christ. "Behold the blood," as they sung. There's righteousness applied to me. Y'all see it? Oh, sorry. But you know, when God looks down on me, He can see the righteousness of Christ. He sees the blood of Christ applied to my life. That should make us joyful. It says, when He sees me, the song says, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Oh, I praise the Lord that He doesn't see me as I am. He took on Himself my sin and your sin. We should praise Him for His strength. "For Thou art the glory of their strength." It says in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." You know, He's the vine. We go out and we can bear fruit, but only through Christ. Amen. He's the reason. He is our strength. He's the reason we can have the ability to do anything. It says, "For He is our defense." It says in verse 18, "For the Lord is our defense." In Jeremiah 1:19, that's what we heard about last night as Dr. Godsey was preaching, and he said, "They shall fight against thee," but what does it say? "But they shall not prevail." They're not going to prevail. Why? For God is with you. For the Lord is with you. Hey, we have somebody that is greater in us than greater than that which is in the world. Now, no, we are not in ourselves greater than that which is in the world. Remember, we're made a little lower than the angels. Satan's a little more powerful than we are. But the one that lives inside me is far greater powerful than the devil. And he's going to fight against me. There is this real devil who does not like what we are doing and what you are doing at your church. And without God's defense, we would have nothing. We should praise the Lord and be joyful for His majesty. It says in the end of verse 18, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. He's our King. I've heard Pastor use this illustration before. But if you've ever had, growing up, you had a bully in school and you'd get one of those big guys to be on your side and say, all right, now come at me, bully. He's on my team. Hey, I have news for the devil. God's on my team. God is, or I should say, I'm rather on God's team. He is my King and I serve Him and He is there to protect me. He's there to be to my defense, which in times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the King of all creation and the Lord of my life, and that should bring us joy. We should be overwhelmed daily that we get to serve God. That we get to be in His house. That we get to have His Word. Everything God wanted to tell you about Himself, He wrote down. How blessed is this Savior. Too often, though, it seems like even Baptist pastors are the most aggravated, aggressive, sad, agitated, and just weary people of all. Let's not live our lives that way. Let's be joyful. Let's praise the Lord for what He's done. Let's praise the Lord for what He's going to continue to do. And as normal New Testament Christians, we should be filled with the joyful music of the Lord. We should be filled with the joyful message from Him. And we should be filled with the joyful method of our lives. Remember, they may never come to your church, but they can read the Bible through you. In the way that you carry yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for this afternoon. Lord, I thank You for the joyful message, Lord, the joyful music, the joyful method that You have given us, Lord, in our lives, that we can do more than we ever could have before because of You. Lord, I thank You for saving me. I thank You for saving those in this room. Lord, I pray that we would live our lives day to day, reminding ourselves of the joy that You give us. And Lord, when we do get down, when we do get into the valley, when we do get into the hard times, Lord, help us to recall that song in the night that You can give us. Lord, I thank You for this meeting. I thank You for those that will continue throughout the rest of this afternoon as they speak. I pray that You would help them and bless them. And Lord, we'll thank You for all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.